A diagnosis of breast cancer can cause a life-changing ripple effect of impact, affecting those we love the most and those upon whom we lean for comfort and strength in the most challenging of times. My name is Aisling Hurley and I'm the CEO of Breast Cancer Ireland, and you're listening to More Than a Lump, a podcast that talks openly and honestly to a selection of guests about their very personal connection to breast cancer, be it through their career choice, their own first-hand experience of the disease, or through sharing the experience of close family members. My conversations will centre on how breast cancer has informed their perspective on life, love, family, health, their goals, and indeed their aspirations. Although each story is utterly unique, the one common thread that runs through each one is that breast cancer is more than a lump. Jamie Martin-Smith is a consultant plastic surgeon at Beaumont Hospital. In today's episode, Jamie talks to me about his career choice, running the general plastics clinic at Beaumont Hospital and managing the full spectrum of plastic surgical cases, as well as a dedicated reconstructive breast surgery clinic. He answers some of the questions that women in our community ask in relation to how long they should wait for reconstruction following treatment, how to physically prepare for breast reconstruction surgery, and how to deal with the after effects. Jamie, you're very welcome to More Than a Lump podcast, and thank you for taking the time to come along and chat to me today on this important topic.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I suppose first and foremost, I'd love to hear a little bit about your choice of career and why you chose breast reconstruction surgery.
So I trained in Ireland and I did the training scheme for plastic surgery, and plastic surgery has got hand surgery, trauma, burns, skin and everything. But part of plastic surgery is microsurgery, which is connecting tiny little vessels under the microscope with tiny sutures. And one of the most common uses for microsurgery is breast reconstruction. And so I went to England and I worked in the Royal Marsden Hospital in London. And I really got a buzz for the technical side of doing loads and loads of microsurgery. And to be honest, then that led to me becoming a breast reconstructive surgeon, because that's the most common procedure we do for breast reconstruction. And I guess that's now evolved to me being pretty comfortable with the technical aspect of it. And so the challenge in breast reconstruction is, I guess, you know, the aesthetic outcome, but also helping patients get through the pathway and, you know, trying to, you know, help them make their decisions and things like that. So while it was initially the technical draw to what I did, it's now actually the aesthetic and the, you know, the whole background to breast reconstruction and breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose breast surgery and reconstruction can be an emotive topic for so many women. They're often coming to you having been through the trauma of a diagnosis and treatment. And as many of our guests here on the podcast can attest to, they are somewhat overwhelmed about their journey ahead. At what point do you come in under that whole team and involvement in that patient's journey?
So I guess, so obviously the most, you know, the first person they meet is the breast surgeon, who unfortunately has to give them their diagnosis and go through everything with them. And every patient's totally different. Some people, you know, take it in their stride and all of a sudden, you know, they want to meet someone who's going to talk about breast reconstruction. And some people really don't take it in their stride and they need a couple of visits to talk through the diagnosis and the management plan and things. And I guess the entrance point for me is when the breast surgeon thinks they're ready to talk about it. And they'll bring up the notion of breast reconstruction to the patient. And there's so many patients, you know, that they just jump at it. It's just like this opportunity to take control. They've spent how many hours waiting in waiting rooms and doing scans, being told what to do, going, you know, being told what the results of their MDT decision is when the doctors sit down and, you know, make a treatment plan. And all of a sudden someone's telling them, well, what do you want to do? So there's this cohort of people that jump at the opportunity and, you know, put their hand up straight away. They want to see a breast reconstructive surgeon, and that's great. But there's another cohort that really, you know, are pushed back and they're like, no, hang on, I don't really want breast reconstruction. I want to treat this thing head on, and I want to devote all my thought process to the breast cancer and getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. And so I guess it's dictated by the patient and the breast surgeon. Mm. Most of the time, though, they'll come and see me before any surgery's happened, before any mastectomy's happened. If they've shown any inkling of being interested, mm-hmm. They'll come and see me and I'll just talk them through what their options are. Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind, I'll have an idea of what their diagnosis and what their cancer's like and what their extra treatments might be in terms mm-hmm. of chemo or radiotherapy. So okay. That kind of, you know, narrows our options a little bit sometimes. But yeah, we talk for half an hour in the mm-hmm. first consultation, and if they're keen, we start setting things up, and if they're not keen, they head back to the breast surgeons. Mm-hmm. And then they...
Yeah, and tell me this then. You just mentioned there, depending on their treatment and whether they go on for radiation therapy, etc. Does reconstruction depend on whether or not they have to have radiation therapy? Like, could they have a reconstruction and then go on to have radiation therapy, or is there...
So, for sure. So, what I mentioned at the start, like the microsurgery option is when you move your own tissue from one part of the body to the other, classically using your tummy. If you make a breast out of your own fat and your own tissue, it's really resilient. And so you can irradiate that. You can give that radiation and it stands up to it really well. And it doesn't really change shape or size or texture. And you end up with the same result that you had before radiation. So it's a great option.
Okay.
And I work in a symptomatic breast unit, which means the women are coming in with a lump and, you know, with maybe more advanced tumors, which means that probably things are at a later stage as opposed to a screening unit where they're caught just on mammogram. Mm-hmm. That means a lot of my patients end up do need radiotherapy from the get-go, as in they know that going in. And so in my unit, we have a bit more of a bias to using their own tissue in terms of, you know, helping them make their decision, but also kind of telling them what they can and can't have. Mm-hmm. If you do an implant reconstruction, it's really, you know, not resistant to radiotherapy.
Okay.
So if they get radiotherapy unexpectedly after an implant reconstruction, it changes the shape and the texture and the position of the implant. Mm-hmm. And so we try to avoid that. And, you know, if there's an unknown what the patient is going to have in terms of radiotherapy, we try and talk it through the patient about how much of a disaster it would be in their mind if we had to suddenly change the reconstruction down the line and things like that. So they're the kind of things we talk about, but a lot of it's not set in stone. And it kind of all comes back to then what the patient wants in terms of how they want their breast to be reconstructed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as you referred to there, so there's many different options available to them, depending, you know, whether it is an implant, whether it is a flap, as you say, a reconstruction from tissue from the tummy or the bum or the buttocks or whatever. Are they the only types of reconstruction that you do? And what tends to be the favour?
So anyone that's gone through my clinic, I kind of have a spiel and I tell everyone the same thing. To make a breast, you need two things. You need skin and you need volume. And that's literally it.
Yeah.
Because I'm creating an aesthetic breast mount. I'm not creating anything that functions. I've got to create something that looks right. So all I need is skin and volume and the right shape of volume, the right amount of volume. And the skin, if you're lucky enough that you're in the right headspace or that your breast surgeon is happy, you know, that you're having an immediate reconstruction, then you get to keep all your own skin in general.
Okay.
So then we just need volume. And you can get volume either off the shelf, which is an implant, or you can donate it from your own body. Mm-hmm. But donating it comes with a sacrifice. I've got to take it from somewhere. So you get scars and you get a recovery period from that place I take it from. And that's what scares some people out of it. But that's what other people love about it. That's coming from their body. So it's kind of like, it's not binary either way. There's a range of different thoughts on it. The other option is, you take implant and that creates a volume, but it creates a very fixed volume. The implant will never change shape with time. It won't droop properly to match the other side. And so there's drawbacks with the implant like that, but you can get really super results with the implant as well. And I guess, it just comes down to patient preference. Some patients are just totally aghast at the idea of me putting an implant or silicone in there. There's so many controversies and things, which mostly are ill-founded. But some people just can't get their head around implant, which is fine, because I'm kind of biased towards, you know, the technical one, that using your own tissue.
Sure.
Which, again, I tell all my patients that I'm completely biased.
Of course.
But you get a much better reconstruction using your own tissue, but it's a much bigger sacrifice.
And yeah, that's the issue. Of course. And then I suppose downtime post-surgery.
Yeah. So again, if you're using an implant, getting maybe a little bit technical, it can either go under the muscle or over the muscle. A little bit of a recovery difference between that. Over the muscle recovery is really quick. So recently I reconstructed a lady she's big into horse riding. And the most number one priority for her for a reconstruction was to get back on the horses, because she works with them. And she sells them things. So we did in front of the muscle and she was back trying to do stuff at sort of day four, day five.
Oh, wow.
If you go under the muscle, you've got to lift the muscle and move stuff and a bit more surgery and stuff on the inside. So it's sore, maybe 2-3 weeks. Recovery is also a very vague word. Is recovery, you know, bring the kids to school, or is recovery back working in your full-time job?
Sure.
And so it's kind of hard. So we kind of explore that at the time. If you use your own tissue, you know, it's a big operation. You're out of driving for 3 weeks. You're probably out of work for 6 to 8 weeks. Your body doesn't feel like itself for maybe 3 months. And, you know, you're bearing that scar forever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So big range.
Yeah, wow, okay. And Jamie, tell me this, you know, I've heard different patients talking at different times about, you know, while they've had a diagnosis and they have their treatment plan in place and then they're faced with the discussion about reconstruction. And I often hear you and others saying, you know, well, you have the patient and perhaps a husband or a partner or a boyfriend, whomever, in the room with them. And the patient is asked, you know, well, what size would you like to be? As opposed to, you know, if you're currently a D cup and you can make them both a D, or you can make them both a C or whatever. How do you deal with that? Or how do you sort of explain that to them?
So first question on examination is, what do you think of the other side? And, you know, funnily enough, when I worked in Chelsea, they're so outspoken. Mm-hmm. Irish women as a cohort, it takes them a minute or two. They're like, what do you mean? And so then I ask them again, and then they tell me, oh, I kind of would like it a bit smaller, or yeah, it's fine, what's the problem? And a lot of the times women ask to be a little bit smaller, and then we say, okay, fine. And then I point out to them that we're making a breast from scratch. Why do we not, let's make something that they want, and in terms of size, and depends on body habits and things like that. But generally I give them, you know, my opinion on what I can make, and then they're like, oh yeah, okay, let's do that, or could we go smaller or bigger or whatever. Every so often a lady will have a really small breast. And, you know, it's always been in the back of their mind that they hated, you know, their size and always want to be a bit bigger. So sure, we make something a little bit bigger and then we can augment the other side. Not a huge fan of that because it involves more implants on the other side and I would never like to drive someone into an augmentation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, everything's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to try and work our way through the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, it gives them back control.
Yeah, totally.
Which is fantastic.
The other thing is, some women, you know, come into me and the thought process is, well, I'm really slim. You know, I definitely don't have enough tissue. And sure, there are women that are super skinny and there's not enough tissue. And the classical surgical thing of being able to use your own tissue was, if you had a big tummy, you could, you know, transfer it and make a breast. But things have evolved, you know, and I can pretty much get enough volume to make a breast out of your own tissue on anyone.
Wow.
It's difficult if it's a bilateral reconstruction, it's much harder because, you know, then I need to get double the amount.
Sure.
But for a single breast, you can harvest from different sites and put them, connect them together with the microscope and then connect them to the chest. Obviously, the slimmer you are, the more technically hard it gets, but it's all doable and possible. And again, that's that discussion. Yeah, I had a lady, a previous patient of mine, and she had problems with her implant and she's super fit and slim. And I told her, I don't think we can do anything other than use your own tissue. And it was such a sacrifice for her. She had this, like, perfect tummy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt bad suggesting it. But yeah, she went for it. It worked really well. And actually, she just had, you know, the final stage of her reconstruction and she's really happy. But yeah, it's technically demanding, but possible on everyone.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, where do you see the future of reconstruction going in the surgical world?
The future, hopefully, is, you know, the breast surgeons figuring out all the cures. Mm-hmm. That's the most likely future at some stage, that I'll become obsolete. The future, what would be cool is if we could just liposuck fat.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could just create a sort of framework in the breast that we could sequentially inject fat. So that means there wouldn't be any scars. We just suck fat from wherever on your body you want to lose it from. And I sequentially just inject it into the breast. And you can kind of do that now, as in just make a breast from injected fat, but it's really hard to get the form of a breast, the projection and the conical shape and things like that. Mm-hmm. So you really need like an internal scaffold, and we're not far off that in the labs.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, is that the next thing to do?
Mm.
Because that would be great. Because the problem with using your own tissue is big scars. And I got to talk people through that and show them all the pictures. And, you know, for some people it's too much. But if I could just say, well, I'll take it off your bum or your thighs or your tummy, and I'll just take whatever I can get, and then I'll make a breast out of it. That would be brilliant.
Fantastic. Really would be a fantastic outcome. Jamie, also, the aesthetic of the reconstructed breast and its sensitivity, does it have the same sense as the other breast by way of touch or feel or tipping or whatever if you banged it? And also another question I would have is in relation to nipple alignment and how that works.
So sensation from your breast primarily comes through the breast. So when you lose the breast, you lose most of your sensation. However, a lot of the skin has its own sensory supply, and in a varied way, it comes back. If you have immediate breast reconstruction, you get to keep your own skin. A lot of people get some sensation in that skin. If you use an implant, you'll never get a proper sensation of it being you. Mm-hmm. It's always an implant on the skin. Mm. If you use your own tissue, it integrates perfectly with the rest of your body, and it softens and it hangs like a normal breast and it moves like a normal breast. And I guess what I would say about that is I had a lady who had a delayed reconstruction, and actually she had an implant previously which was really solid and stuck to her chest. And I swapped out the implant for her own tissue on the tummy, which is a much obviously softer and more natural reconstruction, and you can shape it and things. And on day 4 in the hospital, when she leaned over to spit after brushing her teeth, she felt her breast move away from her chest the way a normal breast would move as mm-hmm. you lean over. And she said she just felt this wave of emotion. And it's funny, it's those kind of little stories that just make it all worthwhile, because, mm-hmm. you know, she didn't expect it at all. Yeah. So it's not necessarily the sensation that you would talk about of the mm-hmm. skin. It's just the sensation of being a part of you. And for that mm-hmm. reason, like using your own tissue is just so far
above. Yeah, and not being sort of that foreign object. Yeah.
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 And the second question you asked in relation to nipple reconstruction, it depends. You can do nipple sparing reconstructions and mastectomies where you get to keep all the nipple and all the skin, and I can just work through a scar and put everything in through a hole. It's less common, primarily because often in someone who's in the classic age category of breast cancer, the nipple has drooped or dropped a little bit, and it's quite hard to do the operation when it's in that position. But certainly in a young person, it's definitely an option. The second thing that I say is most commonly I'm reconstructing a nipple, and that's just using the skin on the breast reconstruction, kind of a technique where you lift it up, twist it around itself and create this little projecting nipple essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the final piece, because you only do that at the very end, once the reconstruction has a chance to settle and once you've maybe done adjustments to the natural side to lift it to make it match or whatever. So when you've got symmetry and you finally put the nipple on at the end, it's actually a really nice thing for patients that suddenly they look down and it kind of looks like a breast again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And interesting, I had a previous patient who, I don't know, did I talk her into it, but I definitely pushed the merits of nipple reconstruction. And she emailed me, and she emailed me afterwards, and she just thanked me for kind of pushing her into it, because she said when she looked down and she saw it, she got emotional just seeing mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And they can look pretty good, but then on top of that, you can do 3D nipple tattoos. Mm-hmm. With, you know, we can do them in the hospital. We're actually better off with this, some tattoo artists who specialize in it, mm-hmm. and they can look amazing mm-hmm. to the point that when you look at them, you've got to do a double take.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask you, so what you're saying then is, the patient would have their mastectomy and either go directly into reconstruction surgery. They would have ideally their Dieppe flap, which is from the tummy or whatever muscle, in their own reconstruction done. But then they should wait to have the nipple done. So that's a second or a third potentially.
Yeah, there's always extra little bits.
Okay.
Just unless you do like a nipple sparing reconstruction and you're literally just putting in volume, mm-hmm. if I'm replacing the nipple areolar complex, just that circle, if I'm putting tummy skin there where that used to be, unfortunately for the recovery period, I want to see how my reconstruction is doing in terms mm-hmm. of making sure it's healthy and there's no problems. Mm-hmm. So I need that little bit of skin untouched. So I can't go making a nipple on top of it, because okay. that would just kind of distort it. It'd be yeah. very hard to monitor mm-hmm. and look after it. Mm-hmm. So there's always, you know, actually a little bit, but a nipple reconstruction is, you know, days, you walk in, you walk out, just local anesthetic.
Oh, wow.
Like it takes 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like a dental appointment. Okay. So that's not a big deal.
No, no, no.
But classically, there is always one little adjustment. Because, you know, I make it as good as I can on the table. But we come back to clinic and I always tell the patients, well, what do you think? And, you know, take a little more out here, put a little bit more in here. And that's, you know, then we talk about, yeah. can I do that? And there's usually little adjustments. Mm-hmm. And then there's a cohort of women that I've either made a lifted smaller breast, and then we're going to have to come back for a reduction on the other side. Mm-hmm. Or the other cohort is where I've tried to match it like for like. And yes. matching it like for like is great, because you get like, it's like an immediate result. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they get to look down and see, you know, their mm-hmm. cleavage being the same and the size and the volume all the same. We're just mm-hmm. missing the nipple. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know.
Yeah. And as you say, it takes time for the breast to settle into its shape, you know, yeah, before you do anything else.
So the adjustments, yeah, you're not going to get through the pathway as quick as you want. There is always the adjustments. If we're going to do it right, you've got to kind of do it slowly, let things settle after each stage. Because we're making, you know, the breast for life, as in if you're exactly. using your own tissue. Mm-hmm. a nipple or an implant reconstruction looks like what it's going to look like as soon as you're done. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of crack on.
Key things for me when we talk about reconstruction, and I've chatted to so many of our breast ambassadors, and some have said, you know, straight away they wanted reconstruction. They couldn't have it quick enough, you know, to feel that feminine self again. And others were just, as we said earlier, so nervous and just really wanted their tumours out first and foremost, and they really didn't care and didn't want to face that trauma of another unnecessary, as they would say, surgery.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. It's this time that these women make their own decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's another one of my parts of the spiel is like it's the only cancer that there is that the patient decides on part of the treatment pathway. And everything else, skin cancer, colon cancer, we just tell them what we have to do in terms of getting rid of the cancer. Mm-hmm. And some people, yeah, are aghast, you know, can't get over the fact that, you know, they can't have a reconstruction mm-hmm. sometimes. And then they're chomping at the bit. They want to see me as soon as radiation's finished. When can we have the surgery? When can I, you know, make a new breast? When can mm-hmm. we do it? And it's all this pressurized situation for them. Mm-hmm. And a much larger cohort of women, once they get through all their treatment, are just kind of like, well, I'll go see Jamie or whoever mm-hmm. it is, and then we'll get our breast reconstruction, and, you know, it'll happen when it happens. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, the people who are allowed have an immediate reconstruction, and might get back to that later, the allowed. Yeah, for them, it's just, I can't wake up without something there.
Yeah.
It's just not an option.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I've noticed recently we got feedback through an education and outreach program that we do, complementary throughout the country. And one of our coordinators was out speaking to a group of women, and one lady said, what do we do if we have implants? How can we check ourselves thoroughly and know that we're able to spot signs and symptoms with an implant?
A reconstruction implant or an augmentation implant?
Probably augmentation in their case.
So actually, there's good evidence to say that someone who's got an augmentation picks up their cancer a little bit earlier.
Really?
For two reasons. One, they're breast aware. Mm-hmm. And two, because the implant is under the breast, pushing things out.
Okay, of course. And then it will be more noticeable.
So the implant goes underneath all the breast tissue. It's either under the muscle or just on top of the muscle, underneath all the breast tissue.
Okay.
And so there shouldn't be any issue with self-exam. You'll feel the implant and you'll feel your breast tissue draped around it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's decent evidence to say you'll pick it up quicker.
Wow, that's very interesting. I will certainly feed that back to them.
Yeah, and it's not a reason to worry about... It sounds like I'm plugging augmentations. But no, it's not a reason. It's not something to worry about at all.
Yeah, I know you will have allayed a lot of people's fears, because I think that was coming through quite a lot in a couple of different groups that were being spoken to, the idea of breast augmentation and implants, and how could I detect, and, you know, if the implant is sitting there. But as you say, the breast tissue is up on top.
Yeah.
So it will actually be a lot easier to detect, which is fantastic. So Jamie, we've talked about the physical cost, the cost to the body, you know, with recovery and all of that as part of the treatment journey. But what is the cost, as in the monetary cost? Is there one? And also the emotive and personal cost, whether it's family downtime, business downtime, you know, what have you experienced there?
Yeah, I guess I'll answer it separately. So like we live in a pretty great health service, in that if you get into it, you get a free ride the whole way through pretty much. Okay. The problem is getting into these services. But as a breast cancer patient, you're generally in a service, mm-hmm. okay? The Irish system means that, you know, people like me and Professor Hill, we're all paid by the HSE. And so if you want a breast reconstruction, you come and see me for free in outpatients, and then you go on my list. Unfortunately, there is a waiting time for a delayed reconstruction. But once you get there, there's a standard hospital charge of, I think, 80 quid a day.
Okay.
So that's 4 days by 80. So it's not huge. So it is accessible to everyone. And then the medical card covers it. If you don't have, you know, mm-hmm. if you can't pay the 80 quid a day and you have a medical card, then it's free mm-hmm. the whole way.
Okay, well.
So there should be no cost barrier. And sure, people can go privately and try and do this thing in private hospitals, but it's not necessary. So everything mm-hmm. is there.
Well.
The like the cost to your family and emotional cost, I mean, that's much harder thing to judge. And that's obviously much more. To the point that when I meet people the first time, if you're like a young mom with like three small kids, or if you're, you know, you run your own business and you're not going to get paid if you're not there running the business, maybe 6 to 8 weeks downtime for using your own tissue is too much of a price to pay. And mm-hmm. I definitely have that conversation with women, and they're like, okay, do you know what? Let's just go for an implant, or let's go for no reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you back away from the harder one purely because of the, you know, emotional cost or the cost to your lifestyle in terms of job or kids.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose a little element of guilt in that, you know, I've had, you know, my tumor removed. Why am I now looking for this aesthetically pleasing reconstruction?
Yeah, and that comes up the whole time. And my answer to that is that, you know, this is all a cancer pathway. So this is not just reconstruction that's aesthetic. Sure, the goal is an aesthetic outcome, but this is just part of the pathway. And secondly, as everyone worries about, you know, oh, I'm doing this to my family. So if your family just want what's best for you. Mm-hmm. And what's best for you is a reconstruction if you're up for it. Because there's mm-hmm. loads of studies that show that you'll actually do better in life with a breast reconstruction. Like, there's pretty good evidence to say that you return to work quicker, that your self-actualization, psychological well-being and stuff is all generally much better with breast mm-hmm. reconstruction. It's obviously not a definite, but in general terms, it's not a reason to feel guilty.
Listen, Jamie, thank you so much for spending time with us today and chatting with us. I'm sure, you know, you've given people a lot of food for thought and you have relaxed and allayed a lot of fears that a lot of women going through diagnosis will feel. Thank you so much for today.
Great. It's a pleasure.
The information in this podcast is based on the personal stories of those we have chatted to. If you are concerned in any way, please contact your GP immediately. Or you can contact us at breastcancerireland.com.